fact, I'm going to even pull up a chair with that.
Wow.
That's cool. I'm going to sit a little bit closer, just a little bit closer than that. As long as I get some light, you can put just put me down over here, but I'm just going to need some light. Thanks, Cheryl. No, I don't need the podium. I use my lap. What, you got your hands up and you don't know which light? Michael, which light back there? Thank you, I can see. This is going to be a bit of a mixed bag tonight. All right, I just see just have been a few things churning through me through the week, and sorry, can you see me? Do I need to be back? Just going through my head, and I just would just jot some things down. But I want to just talk a little bit about I don't want last weekend to just dissipate into nothingness, because let me tell you, some powerful things happened here last weekend. And in case you don't know, I'm just going to tell you a couple of them. We're going to have a chance to just have a couple of testimonies too. But we did a debrief last Sunday night. We had a leaders meeting. It was planned long before we knew Nathaniel was coming. So we just went ahead and had it. But not only that, I talked with people through the congregation on the Sunday. And then what our leaders said Sunday night, there was all the same feel about what happened last week. And generally, all the same things were said, and I found that real encouraging that we all received this in the same way. Okay, so one of the big things that came out was the humility of the message, the humility and the simplicity of the message and of this young man and what he brought to our body. And even though, it's things like you've heard before, there was a way in which it was delivered, in which imparted into it. I felt like there was an impartation to the body, to all of us. And the ministry afterward, the body ministry, like Sue Sweeney, she's not here tonight, but we found out that Daniel Florin gave her a word. And it was amazing. He just went up to her and said, God wants me to tell you that you are healed. I mean, that's something. Like, Daniel Florin doesn't usually just step out and do something like that. So, these are things that were happening behind the scenes, and, she received that word. And, we had Stuart's dad get born again. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And Lauren's partner, John, Lauren is Lindy's daughter. He got born again, and Rick even led him through baptism in the Holy Spirit. So, that is amazing. We know a lot of the history behind all this stuff. And really what happened last weekend was pretty amazing. So there was that idea of humility, us living a life of worship. And I think what impressed me with this young man was at such a young age, the sense of purity and living a life of love and no offense, and just that remembering what the cross did and treating other people the way Jesus treats us and treating yourself the way Jesus treats us. And, just remembering that price of the cross. So I just want to look at a couple passages of scripture, not real long, but if you just put up the 1 Corinthians 1 first, Sarah. This is the gist that I felt he was ministering to us as well last weekend, and that we need to grab and go forward with, because this is where the life is going to come from. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions in the church. I like my NLT translation better than this one, but anyway. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So one mind united in thought and purpose. And then if we just look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, and my the New King James here in that section says the character of the new man. And this is a lot of what he was bringing forth to us last weekend is, you know, the new man. It's not something that, you know, has to take long years. Like, you know, keep putting the old man down. We put him down, we die. It died. It died. And here's the character of the new man. So this is what we should be attaining. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, this is what we're going to put on, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, there's that word humility in there, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ, and he emphasized this so much last weekend, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Always bring it back to what Jesus did for us in everything that we do and as we go on in life. And verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And in the original language, it means that tie, that ligament, or the uniting principle of completeness. So love is the thing that ties everything together to completeness. Completeness morally, mentally, socially, everything. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Wow. We just start being more thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I think he even used the scripture last weekend. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is the life of worship. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so that's what I believe the biggest part of what came out last weekend. That's where God is wanting to instill that in all of us once again. And I also feel that we're moving into a stage where we need to be more active in our, as he was saying, active in our Christian faith, in our belief, to not be put off or afraid or, you know, whatever, to actually, you know, be out there with Jesus. And, you know, people of restoration and a prophetic people. Like, just to give you an example, and, I know everybody's different, okay? So, you know, say, well, I can't do that. But you can do it in the expression that God has given you. All right, so we took him out to the restaurant last week. And, you know, there was ended up to be like, what, about 10 of us there? Like, it was supposed to be like six, and like people just kept coming. And anyway, here we are, you know, sitting in the restaurant. And, you know, all of a sudden, Nathaniel just gets, he's gone. He's gone from the chair. We're all sitting at the table. We hadn't ordered yet. And he's gone from his chair. And he followed someone out the door, and he's standing, three fellas standing outside there for about 20 minutes, sharing the gospel, had their undivided attention, like they were eating on the palm of his hand. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, you know, this is it. It's in action. And, like, there was nothing put on. It's how he lives. And then they were praying for the waitress, you know, because she had a bad back. And so this was, like, going on in the restaurant. And at that same time, about that time, because Patrick Steele was there, he turned to Chuck and I, because at that moment in the restaurant, we got a phone call from our agent that our house had sold. And Patrick turned to us immediately. Nathaniel prayed over it, and Patrick turned to us and said, I have a word I'm going to send you, that it was a prophetic word given from a young man who goes to the same church as Nathaniel. Nate Johnston is his name. He said, I'm going to send it to you. He said, because I believe, you know, it's for you, he said, for your house situation, and for your church as well. And so when he actually sent the prophecy through, like, I was amazed, because I can see, like, as pastors, you know what you've all been through this last year. And there's been, you know, even though we're only halfway through the year, there's been a lot of stuff that everybody in this body's been through. So, yes, we received it for us, for our house situation, and boy, did we need to receive it, because, you know, the journey's not finished yet. Anyway, I want to read you. I couldn't put the prophecy up because he sent it through Messenger, and I couldn't download it. And I didn't know if we could Bluetooth it here, so I just thought, I went out, and I, like, it was a 20-minute prophecy. And, like, this young man was in his car, and it was full on. He was in tongues part of the time, and then he'd come back, and he was just delivering this prophecy with power. And I kind of wish Louise was here, because he's one of these guys that, you know, follows license plates, like Louise does, gets license plate numbers. Anyway, the prophecy was on the 8th of August, 18. 8/8/18, right? And so that was significant to him. For God showed him significance from that, and he was prophesying over people out there, all right? So we can all receive this. We can all receive this. But this is the message that Patrick sent to us. He said, "Pastor Chuck and Marianne, awesome to spend time with you this weekend. And while we were at the Thai today, the Thai restaurant, I saw the number 888 for you." That's 8th of August 18. 888 for you. "And asked the Holy and the Holy Spirit asked me to share this word with you from Nate Johnson, who is from Nathaniel's Church. I believe this is relevant for you, your house situation, and your church." So I've got the gist of it down here, most of what he said. And I'm just going to read it to you, because I think we need to all receive this. All right? Too bad the people who aren't here. Okay, and it's called New Beginnings. And I believe there are new beginnings happening in a lot of our lives, you know, and the life of this church. And he started out by, you know, saying that you through your life, you go through seasons or years where you think, how did I ever get through that year? And I'm so glad that year's over with. And he said, when you come to the end of year, you say, oh, I'm so done with that year, or whether it was 2017 or whatever year. And he said, maybe this past season hasn't just been a year, but maybe two or three or seven, or just a long wilderness period. He said, we're not just stepping into a new season, but a new era. You're going to sense and experience a different grace over this next period of time. And it's going to feel very different than the season you've been in before. And he said, it's like a new beginning. He said, and there's indicators of new beginnings. He said, and one indicator is what you were doing before doesn't seem to quite work anymore, or it just doesn't feel good or fit. God doesn't always reinvent the wheel, but sometimes just rearranges or changes things. Could be something simple like your intimacy with God. And he talked a lot about that last weekend, about developing that intimacy with God, and how he had that personal experience himself. Nathaniel did, sorry. And then he said, maybe it's your expression, your gifting, your purpose. God's just changing or shifting that. Sometimes it does mean doing away with the old and cutting some of those alignments. God just wants you to yield to him, to surrender to the closeness, and it can be uncomfortable. Sometimes the new season feels like a death, feels like you're sacrificing everything, just completely giving him all the cards, your whole deck, so to speak, and saying, God, I don't know what you're doing with me. I thought I knew where I was going, and suddenly you're kind of shifting in this different direction. And then he kept saying, 888, 888. The letter 8 in Hebrew is a picture of a doorway. Said, it's a season of a new door. God is taking you to a season of completely shifting all things around you. You've only been through the fire part of it, the uncomfortable part of it. The shift has been uncomfortable. And you're saying, I don't know what's going on here. The warfare against me has been great. The enemy doesn't want you moving forward. Look at Romans 8:18. Like, it's amazing how all this came together. Look at Romans 8:18, your promise. And like, I'm telling you, this was all coming out of this man's spirit. Nothing was like pre-planned, you could tell. Look at Romans 8:18, your promise. I'm convinced, this is what it says, I'm convinced that any suffering you endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled. And he just kept saying over and over, it's less than nothing. Less than nothing. Michael, it's less than nothing compared to the magnitude of the glory that's to be unveiled. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, waiting to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. This is a season for the body of Christ to rise. And he said, but if you notice in this passage before, it says, was suffering and the wilderness. You might be saying, I don't know why those things came against me. Yeah, you've been faithful, God, but why did I have to go through that? Anybody ever think that? It's taken such an emotional toll on me, God. You're taking me through this season, and it doesn't make sense. But God's saying to you right now, the suffering is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of the glory that is about to be unveiled within us. This is a season of being so overshadowed by my goodness and my glory that is going to be unveiled. It is your season of unveiling your purpose, your destiny. You may have felt foolish for a season. People may be looking at you like you were stupid for a season. Like, what are you doing? When his glory blankets you, it makes it all what you were, it makes all what you went through look like nothing. You were faithful to stand with him and to listen to his voice, to go, and this is for each and every one of us, to go through the fire, and then he blankets you with his glory and unveils you to the universe. This is your new beginning. God is going to restore, but he's also making stuff brand new. You're not going to carry the junk of your past season anymore. If people have hurt you, wherever you're broken, give it to me and just believe what I'm going to do for you. It's a season where you need to just worship and just love those people as a worship. I know you're good, God. I know you haven't left me out. He's calling you into your destiny, calling you to who you really are. And at this point, where's Sarah? Sarah, come sit over here. At this point, I wasn't going to do this, but the Lord said no, it was in the prophecy. At this point, he just out of the middle of nowhere, he just went, Sarah. He said, there's a Sarah out there. Sarah, he's been calling you. He's speaking to you, Sarah. You're going to fulfill your name, princess or royalty. You're not going to see yourself under, but you will develop such a Holy Ghost confidence and boldness. You're going to say, wow, this is what I'm called to be. I'm called to be royalty. The head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You've been through a time that you've been wandering around, and it's almost like you accept whatever happens. God is saying, I don't want you just to accept what happens. I'm wanting you to rule and reign in your life. I feel like it was just the Father speaking tenderly, Sarah. I had to give that because they said this was for our church. And I just thought, that's for our Sarah. When I heard it, I said, that's for our Sarah. And then he came right back to his prophecy. And he finished and said, Father, let that prophetic flow just hit them. Anointing, destroying yokes, religious holds and things holding people back from inactivity and thinking they can't accomplish things. God, let the spirit of might and power come upon them. The sunrise will begin to burst through their lives. This is the day of new things, new language. You're going to dream and see visions in a new way, coming to a new altitude, a new advantage point, a new beginning. You forge through the pain, and I have a new path for you to forge. It's going to be large, and mega highways are going to be built. You're going to release the sound you've incubated in secret and isolation, and you're going to raise up forerunners and pioneers to be able to carve the road with you. God is making all things new, 888. Now, that is an amazing prophetic word. And as I listened to it, I was in tears listening to it and thinking about not just us, but everybody, like, we're connected with here. And then, you know, I thought of you, Michael, so much when I was hearing that word. And Michael had a real touch last weekend. And we at our leaders' meeting, and this is before I actually listened to this word. We didn't listen to it till Monday, I think. And at our leaders' meeting, we just were praying for one another, a bit like we did in the afternoon. And so Louise started feeling these pains in the side, in her thought. She said, I feel like I'm going to be sick right now. She said, I don't know what it is. She said, I feel like I'm going to vomit, but I'm not going to vomit. And she's in this, and I just have this pain in my stomach. And we said, well, you know, possibly that's, you know, for Michael, why don't you lay hands on him? And Kylie did. Kylie and Louise laid hands on Michael and Sue Ellen. And Kylie's hands were burning on fire. And when we finished praying for Michael, because Michael really spilled his heart that night. It's been rough for him. And when we finished praying for Michael, we said to Louise, you know, do you still feel sick? She said, no, it's completely gone. She said, and it was a sharp pain right here. And Michael said, that's exactly where he gets his pain. Like, how awesome is that? And so Michael's going to come up and just tell a little bit about, I know I said part of it, Michael, but he's had a change.
How much do you want? Do you want the 5-minute version or the 20-minute?
I just
want to share, like, that I really felt like it was a mental healing last week as well as a physical. And I know that physical is coming, and exactly what Sue Ellen said, that the devil's still going to push symptoms on my body. And if you haven't heard of what I did suffer with, it was called colitis. And I say that past tense because it's gone, right? It is gone, and I'm believing for it. And I am healed in Jesus' name. And Aubrey had a word as well. And she said, you just need to, every time you go to the toilet, you need to speak the blood of Jesus from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Every time. And I've done that every day this week. And, you know, I just feel different. It's just different. Now, I suffered from this for 4 years. And it's called colitis. And it's something that's not really, it's stress related, but it's not, and it's a genetic disease that is uncurable by man. And I've been on medication for 4 years, and I'm still on a lot of medication. And my mum had similar things, even worse. She had Crohn's, which was just a different part of the body. And basically, she had so much medication over the years that's why her liver was destroyed, practically destroyed. And so that sort of put fear in my heart. And just a lot of things in my life were just sinking, you know. Within about 2 months, my job went from just being, you know, just a job to literally hating or just despising my boss because we just sort of butted heads a bit. and that just emphasized the whole situation more, and then brought more stress and more fear, and so that made it even worse, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And in that same time period, my car blew up, just spontaneously driving to Sydney one morning, blew up in the middle of the road, had to pull over, and you know, all these things just kept going bang, 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 and I was just crying out for God. And I said, I shared at the meeting that I felt like I was Job in the Bible, where it's just everything's just getting dropped on him, and he's just like, you know what, God, I'm still believing. And I said that. I said, look, I still believe that I can be healed. I still believe I am healed, by the way. But you know, and so I've it's hard to put into words because there's just so much to come to. But basically, I was just broken last week, and what Daniel said, like, it just hit me hard, man. It's just like I had pulled so far into my shell, selfishly, that I didn't even really know how to share God. It wasn't in my mind. It just wasn't. Like, coming to church, that's one thing, but when I was going to work, the day-to-day grind of, you know, these guys are literally walking up to anyone and everyone that God tells them to and just lay hands on them. And I was like, man, I used to do that. Like, I used to want to do that. Like, I drove a guy to Sydney that I found on the side of the road, you know, at 3 a.m. in the morning. And anyway, so that's where I was. I was like in this pit, and, you know, the weekend would come and it'd sort of be a little bit of a high, and church would lift me a little bit. But Monday morning, bang, straight down again. And, you know, back to the grind of work. And anyway, so at the meeting, I shared that, and then we laid hands on each other, and Suellen had like a real word about like putting hands in certain spots and different people and things like that. And when Kylie laid hands on me, man, oh my goodness, like, you want to talk about fire, man? It was like, whoa, straight down my whole body. And and the same with Louise. Louise was the same. And it's something you can't explain until you've experienced. You're like, oh, they had really hot hands. No. It wasn't just temperature. It just connected. And as soon as the touch me, man. So, and it just broke something in my mental capacity. And, you know, you saw, I don't know if anyone saw the video, but I was a different person to when I got to that meeting. We were running late. You know, our dinner wasn't on time. The kids were screaming. We'd had a terrible afternoon, and we're just like, why are we doing a meeting on a Sunday night, right? Grumble, grumble, grumble. We got a car spot 10 meters from, like, 20 minutes from Aubrey's house. Things like that. And so, you know, realistically, we had all these barriers, and we're just like, you know what? We're going to get there however long it takes us. And it honestly was better than any guest speaker, because it was community, and it was the body. And that's pretty much all I want to share, I think, but I hope that's enough, and yeah, thank you for everyone praying for me.
Thanks. Does anyone else want to share how last weekend impacted you? Just quickly. Any other testimonies? Yep. Liam? You
want to sit? No, sorry. Won't take long. it was a really good weekend, I think, for everyone. I mean, I'm sure we all took something from it. I mean, I had the chance to pray with Drewski after the service. It was just about creating that community, and that's what I said to the pastors at the meeting on Sunday night as well. Like, the sense of community that Nathaniel brought, it wasn't that he stood up here and went, oh, look at me, I'm a guest speaker, I need to bring something new and fresh and better than anyone's brought before. It was just about, you know, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of being a community, and the just having the courage to share it with people. So I've got two quick testimonies. On Sunday night, it happened on Saturday night, we had just a worship and praise night with Nathaniel up at the pastor's house. And I said to Kylie and Cherry on Sunday night, I was like, you guys were just on my heart all night. And I just believe it was for Emeka and Tanea, because for those of you that don't know, they haven't been attending youth group for quite a while now. And I just said, I just felt that we really have to lay hands on you guys and pray to give them wisdom. Because Cherry, I hope you don't mind me sharing, was saying that she was just suffering from a bit of compassion fatigue just in general. And I was like, man, I could imagine as a parent it would be really dangerous if you're trying to get your kid to go back to youth group and, you know, they're being hard to deal with and you're just losing it because you've lost that compassion fatigue. And I just said, I was like, I just feel like we really need to pray for you guys to give you wisdom and strength and just how to deal with the fact that your kids aren't coming to youth group. And we did, and yeah, that's kind of what kicked off the whole prayer side of the evening, and man, the whole meeting just took off from there. It was unreal. But it was really, really good, and that week we sent out our text messages we normally do. Like, we've got a chat with a lot of the teenage group kids that all have, like, iPhones and iMessage and stuff, so we can all have the same chat, and it works really well because they keep us up to date with, like, prayer points and all that kind of stuff. And so we sent out our texts as we normally do. We send one to parents, one to the kids. And then we get one back from Emeka, and he's like, I'm coming this week. And me and Ginevra are like, what? Because he says it every week, and Kylie said the same thing. She goes, oh, he's telling me on Monday every week, oh, yeah, I'm going to youth group this week. Comes to Friday, and he goes, no, I'm not going. And I was a little bit like that. I said to Ginevra, I was like, oh, you know what, I'll believe it when he walks through the door. But we were believing that something was changed, and I said to Kylie and Cherry after we'd prayed, I said, look, I said, God's just put on my heart. I said, it's only a matter of time. I said, before they come looking for us. I said, we're not going to have to keep chasing them. And Emeka showed up on Friday night, so that's one. We're still believing for the other one, and it's coming. But the second one is, so there was a death in my family the week before. I found out on Friday night after youth group. And my mum's, like, for those of you that have met my mum, she's the loveliest person in the world. She's got the nicest heart. She's not a Christian, but she's so lovely, and she gets walked all over all the time by everyone. And she always has this weird, like, not weird thing, but, like, when I first got saved and stuff like that, you know, I was 15, 16, I used to muck around with her and stuff like that. And I remember one day, I can't remember, whenever my mum never used to give me attention when I was after, I'm like, mum, Ange, and she wouldn't listen. I'm like, woman? And she'd turn around and go, don't call me woman. So that got her attention real quick, and I did it one day, and she goes, don't call me woman. I was like, oh, Jesus called his mum woman. And then she's like, don't you dare preach at me. And I was like, ooh. And from there on, I've just never brought it up, like, the whole Christian thing, the church thing. Like, she knows I come to church, and she always asks me, how is it, how's youth group, all that kind of stuff. But I called her again on, I think it was on Friday night again, wasn't it, after youth group. Yeah, because she works quite regularly. We don't see each other very much. And I called her on Friday because we've got to go up to the Central Coast for the funeral on Tuesday, and we're just arranging a few last-minute things. And Mum was telling me that on Friday, I think it was, she found out that her boss's son had died, and he was only, like, 22, and Mum... I said to Mum, like, oh, that's my age. Like, that's really freaky. And Mum was just broken. And she's like, my boss is so nice. And she just goes, I don't know why. Like, what's God's plan if people are dropping, like, if people are just dying? Like, it was my uncle that died recently, and he took his own life. And then this young 22-year-old dies. And Mum goes, it's so unfair. Why does it happen to the nicest people? And I kind of, like, just wanted to take that opportunity, like Nathaniel said, have that boldness. And I just said to Mum, I was like, you know, it's not God's plan. And I said to her, I was like, the Bible clearly says that, you know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and God came so we can have life. And Mum didn't arc back up. She wasn't like, oh, don't talk about that with me or whatever. She just kind of took it, and she goes, yeah, I believe that. But sometimes, you know, just, like, it really hits you. And I just thought, you know, it's kind of just opening those doors and taking that time. And, you know, like I said, my mum's so lovely. I'd love to see her saved one day, and I'm believing that one day I will. But she's not the kind of lady you can just push it on. Otherwise... you know, she'll just keep going, oh, whatever. And my auntie's full, like, oh, church, nah, not even going to have my funeral in a church. I want nothing Christian. Like, she's full on, like, and, like, she's lovely as well. But, yeah, I just really, like, took that opportunity to share with my mum. And, like, it was only something small, but, you know, she's got a 3-hour car ride with me to the Central Coast on Tuesday. So, we'll see where we go from there.
Good one. Thanks, Liam. Anybody else, too?
Howdy, howdy, folks. How are we all? Well, I hope. Last weekend, we didn't beg Mum and Dad to come. Well, you don't... we're like, what have you got to lose? Sort of thing, you know what I mean? Just come, you know? So it happens. And you've got nothing to lose. Like, Mum, she's suffering from... what's she got? Got extremely bad. I'm not quite sure if it's arthritic or something wrong with the hand. She needs an operation on it, but she's also developed a hernia as well. Anyway, she's a pretty tough nut, and she shot soldiers on. So, but she's a believer. Dad, on the other hand, now you know my dad. Very, very analytical and skeptical of everything that's on this earth. You say if you say something too much about a topic, he'll back off and Just he'll be very observant, but yeah, no, I don't agree with that. But he won't say nothing, you know, so you don't know where you stand. So even though when I was a very young fella, Mum and Dad bought me a Bible, and they said, son, please read this. This is your manual of life, and so on and so forth. However, with Dad, he comes from an extreme, and he's a broken man. He really is. He comes from a very, very abusive Aboriginal family. He is extremely selfless. If he's got 5 minutes to live, he'll give you that 5 minutes. He's just that type of guy, you know. But last week, when I didn't even know they were coming, the quiet assassin over here, when I pulled up another car park and there's Mum's car, and I'm like, did you remind them? And she's like, yeah, they sent me a text message saying, yeah, they're on their way. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's great. And I was extremely nervous last week because with Dad being so, not picky, but analytical, if nothing happened at all, it would be like straw by the camel's back, you know, like that. That's rubbish. No. Nothing works, you know, because he's got spondylitis, which is the degeneration of his spinal column, and he's got trigeminal. It's a nerve thing that is totally incurable. It's nicknamed suicide disease, to the point where the nerves in someone's head, correct me if I'm wrong, Yeah. And he'll just sit there and all of a sudden he'll just start crying. I'm like, what's this? And,
sorry, she was doing the splits with the divisions. And
we'll get her a job in some stunt shows overseas. She'll be sweet.
I didn't want her getting hurt.
Yeah, so I thought, if nothing happens, or if... I was just extremely nervous with him coming, you know, like, oh, no. Anyway, we're over there, we're praying like crazy. Everyone in here was, and you could feel the electric atmosphere. It was really good. I'm still getting over this. But I tried to keep focus on him. I really did. I thought, you're not getting away from me today. You're not going to get away from me. Next one, I'm like, where's he going? And he stood up. He's walked down the front. And I said to him, you should just go and have a chat. Just talk about anything. Whatever pops in your head, just spill your guts. And get it, you know, just yarn. Talk rubbish. Next one, I know, he's got up and he's walked off. I'm like, where's he going? He went straight down to Nathaniel, and I thought, Mum's like, and go and follow him. Well, I better get up, I'll go, you know. He gets a bit tongue-tied, bit, you know, he's not a shy fella, but if he doesn't know what to say, he'll just, that's it, cold. So he's gone down there, and we've had a bit of a talk, and Nathaniel's like, once I, you know, we explained a little bit of his past and stuff like that, he was like, wow. Anyway, everyone's got their own past, and that doesn't define who a person is, but he looked square Melbourne right in the eye. And he said, what do you want to do? He said, do you want to give your heart to Jesus today? Melbourne turned around and said, yes. Straight up. Bang. And I'm like, I was just gobsmacked. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm like, I'm thinking, where's the pause button? Stop this for a sec. Stop. Off I ran. She grabs Fett, my mum. Down here now. Chop. Mum's like, what's happening? I said, the old fella's just decided to give his heart to the Lord, Mum. Anyway, my mum is proud as punch, you know. Oh, that's my man, sort of thing. I'm still sitting there going, what? Anyway, I told the little assassin over here, and she was who orchestrated the whole lot. You've really become a glue in our family. Not only just in our marriage, obviously, but you've become a conduit between the Lord, I suppose, not only with us growing together, as we have done over, you know, the last decade, but bringing all my family members back together, you know, being from a broken sort of area, to the point where now everyone's, my brother's heavily involved, and his family heavily involved in the church down in Canberra, but we've all now got that common denominator, I suppose, where we can all start to feed off each other. Big step. Baby steps, but because I want to try and help him grow and without being, I suppose, bombarded with information, because you can get so overwhelmed with it all. So he's definitely going to be a work in progress, but my goodness, to be actually present when that happened, and I just couldn't believe it, you know, like, and I can't remember if I even spoke to you about it yesterday, last week. But I'm still gobsmacked. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Mm. A bit. Yeah. But Mum gets in the zone, just like, yeah, whatever, shut up. And the old man will just, isn't that right, Trevor? Yeah, whatever. But, yeah, no, I thank everyone in here last week for, you know, such an electric atmosphere. And I suppose that, you know, the Lord was in the house, and he's no matter what background you've got, he's brought us all together. You know, and thanks everyone for having the support of each other's backs. And indeed. So, yeah, thank you all.
Amen. Thanks,
too. And when I see Louise has also been a very big part of our family since we were kids. And Lauren and Louise have had a very big influence on my father since we were growing up. And I do believe, because Louise prays for my family quite
yes.
a lot.
Amen. Good one. Thanks, Stu. Drew, did you have a testimony?
I've got two things that happened this week. At work, you know, I guess I'm the Christian guy, etc., etc. So, you know, I'm the Christian guy, and if they want to fight and they want an argument and they want to put down the cards on the table, they come and ask me, and, you know, I don't mind having those arguments. They, you know, they question a lot of things, and, you know, I'm the one to go to for that. But generally, I'm not, you know, overly or overtly outspoken about it all, because the reputations of Christians have been well tarnished in my work over and over and over again. And so I'm not saying I completely shut my mouth, but, you know, I just have shut my mouth and just kind of, you know, let that go somewhat. But we have a girl at my work that her mum is pretty deep into cancer, and she's in New Zealand, and so I have a pretty good relationship with this girl. We have to have a weekly meeting and debate things and sort out a lot of things and negotiate each week. And so she's spending a lot of time, you know, almost every fortnight now, having to go back overseas and spend time with her mum. Who's going through the throes of cancer and things like that, and it's been able to open some doors, and I've been able to chat with her, and, you know, we're chatting again and whatnot. And once she come back from New Zealand, and asked her how she was going and whatnot, and you know, this time I got the nudge from behind me. So, you know, I said, look, I can pray for you, pray with you. You know, would you like me to pray for you, pray with you, and whatnot? And so, I don't think it has been the right approach around my circle and around my work to kind of push hard but be there. And then, you know, when they're coming to ask those kind of questions at that time, you have been able to kind of pray with her as well. And then in my other circles, I've actually got probably about a half a dozen guys that I kind of hang out with and do different things with, for the same reason, hanging out and waiting for that moment. And I've had a lot of debates with one of the guys that I coach, and I've got another guy that I was coaching a while ago, and he went away for a big road trip. And just last week, he kind of got back from his road trip, and he was back to, you know, playing squash, and I was coaching him and things like that. And he asked me to replace him as a member, because he wasn't playing. And then I saw him rocked up to play that night, and there he was already playing. I'm like, I thought you weren't playing. And he goes, oh, no. Last Friday, went to the doctors, and I've basically got stage 4 liver cancer. And I'm going in for treatment on Friday, so I'm pulling out, and you're replacing me. And so I just stopped and just sat down with him, had a chat with him for a while, and you know, talked about that, and had a chat with him, and I said, well, I'm a Christian, I can pray for you. And he goes, oh, well, I'm a Catholic. You know, I don't know exactly what that meant, but look, I said, you know, because he was, you know, road tripping with his girlfriend around Australia and whatnot. But so I got to pray with him. We got to, you know, let him know that I'm going to pray for him, and tried to get in contact with him, saying, hey, let's get together before your treatment, things like that. But never actually happened. You might see a tall man with a big beard called Ricky in the rounds. But yeah, he's a lovely guy. But I messaged him, and you know, I won a hard match, and I said that was for you, you know. I've been able to just been thrown in it as normal, and I got to pray with two guys with dealing with cancer and whatnot. So yeah, it's just, you know, that nudging keeps happening. I keep just perpetually running into guys and running into people that want to hang out, and they kind of find out, you know, who you are and what you are, and then it kind of comes later.
Fantastic. Look. That's it. It's each individual, your expression. Everybody's expression is different. And just as long as you're expressing the love of God. Amen. Well, I'm just going to close. I just felt to read this psalm. It's Psalm 29. It was just in my reading through the week, and I don't know, it spoke to me. Give to the Lord, all you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice, this is what got me. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you're the voice. We are his voice. We need to be his voice of healing. We need to be a voice of restoration. We need to be that prophetic voice. You know, because we don't have it's not, you know, the Old Testament type prophets anymore. We're it. We're the ones that need to be prophesying and making these things happen. He says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. And, you know, waters in scripture is often indicative of nations or peoples. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. If you just keep thinking of this, your voice, put your voice in there, because you are God's voice on this earth. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, yes, the splinters, the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, just bringing that joy. Lebanon and Syrian, like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. And I saw that as, you know, the dry and barren places. You speak prophetically, the voice of the Lord shakes it and changes it. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. You know, you got something that God's birthing in your life, speak it out. Speak out his words, his voice. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you just for this time of sharing we've had tonight. And Lord, I just pray that we would continue to just be a people of restoration, building up the ruins. Lord, be a people who bring peace and joy, forgiveness, your healing touch, and just that good news of the gospel. Lord, give us ears to be tuned in to what you're saying, to hear your voice, to be obedient. Lord, that's all you ask, is that we be obedient to what you're telling us to do. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for what you have done for us in the past, what you are doing now, but even what you are going to continue to do in such a big way. And Lord, I just pray your blessing upon everyone here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.